As I mentioned yesterday, we had a special weekend. Well, Friday and Saturday, we had a special weekend here with the leadership of the church, met with Jim Capaldo from Converge. Jim's the executive director, is that right? Executive regional director, one of those big words, of Converge Heartland. He oversees how many churches? 60?
61.
61 churches that he oversees, and he comes in and he helps them with revitalization. He helps them with church health. He helps them kind of process through things. This is part of what he does, and we appreciate so much Jim willing to do that. So yesterday he was here this last weekend, and today we've asked him, the deacons asked him to come up and just really share what God's laid on your heart. So Jim, it is great to have you here today, and it's all yours, my friend.
It's great to be here. Hey, last time I was here, I did this, and I have to do it again because you have experienced exponential growth over this last year. So I tell you what I want to do. Everybody up. I got to get a family picture, all right? So come on in together. If you had tickets for your seat, we'll make sure you get your seats back or refund you. So I got to scoot back. That's so many people. So fantastic. What I'm going to do, I'm going to put this right up. Look at this. You've even got a riser for me. Okay. Okay, on the count of three, wave, say, hello, Heartland. Okay, one, two, three.
Hello, Heartland.
All right. Great. Now, you could go right on Facebook right now. Go back to your seat, so you're fine. So you could go right on to Facebook, Converge Heartland Facebook page, and there is your lovely photo. Published as of this moment. I don't know how often you get encouraged to browse social media during services, but that is the case right now. I tell you what, I am so excited about what God's doing here. It was such an honor to just be with your leadership over the weekend. There were several people, committee heads, trustees, deacons. There was one guy they called the pastor. There were so many different folks. And we really had a great time. It was an intense time. It was a time of real introspection into the church and everything. I'm excited for you to learn the ramifications of those discussions and the broad buy-in. I just want you to know that you have been loved well by your leadership. I'm not kidding. They sacrificed this weekend to love you and bring direction. And it was a lot of work. Zach, I'm glad you're alive and well here today. He was in it. And others of you, thank you so much for your sacrifice. So, you know, in life, there are times in our lives where we experience love in ways that we just don't expect. We experience it in ways that blow us away. My family and I, a little story about our family, is that we have served as missionaries. I need my little clicker here. Served as missionaries in Siberia. I even met some other Texans from the Dallas area this morning. So we served in Texas. Sometimes I joke around and I just say we did time in Texas. But we've done a lot of different things over the years. As far as moving goes, serving as missionaries, living in Texas, being raised and coming out of Iowa, family across Nebraska, just living in South Dakota now, having served as a pastor in Anchorage, Alaska, we planted many churches over the years and in Siberia and Russia amongst an unreached tribe. And one of the unique things is just our family, how our dynamic has been. The needs that we've had have been unique at certain seasons. The joys that we've had have been unique, and these are the same things you could say about your own family. Here's a picture of my family. I'm up there on the left. My son, Caden, he's a junior in high school, Lincoln High School in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. He's up in the upper right, and our son, Cole. So I'm sorry if this causes stress. So anyway, forgive me. Don't throw anything at me. But Cole, some Nebraska churches say that he needs a healing. So Cole is going into seventh grade. Our daughter Kinsey is now going into high school, a freshman, and it's my wife Carrie of 22 years. This was a picture taken at a season of celebration in our life that followed an intense season of need. Our daughter was sick. She had to be resuscitated three times, collapsed lung, heart stopped. She had died. And 100 days in the hospital, nearly a month in a coma. artificial oxygenation of the lungs, hearts being pumped artificially. It was just an amazing, amazing journey, and she survived. And right here, this is the picture of our family on her Make-A-Wish Foundation trip. And this is us in Queenstown, New Zealand in January. And so that's where she chose to go. Kind of a global girl. And what we've had is this experience in our life where, quite honestly, we've moved 30 times, quite literally, for the sake of the gospel. To see a church planted here. Okay, now we need to get this going over here and train somebody for over here, but we got to go back and visit and this, and let's go over here. Or missionary furlough for this amount of time. Over here now we're seminary, this over here studying. And now, okay, the door's closed in the Russian Federation. Let's go up to Alaska. There for 5 years, and then the Lord brought us down to South Dakota. And we came down back into the Heartland regions very intentionally. This is where we were raised. This is our homeland. So many times I would just pray and say, God, if you would just give me a chance to do something about the strengthening and starting of churches in my own homeland, that would be a great blessing and a joy for me. I've done it all over around the world. I followed your calling overseas. But if you would give me that opportunity, and he did. And so it's a great joy. But there's always been a question mark. And how many of you love moving? Okay? There's always a question mark of how that's really going to play out. You know, you've got ideals or pictures in your head. And so we were moving to South Dakota. And there was a time where we experienced an express love that we just absolutely did not. It blew us away. So I'm coming down to Central Baptist, pastor at Central Baptist for a couple of years in Sioux Falls before coming into district work. And the church had a lot of different gifts in it, and one of them was a guy named Daryl Bartell. Daryl Bartell is a real estate agent. He's been a truck driver. He's a fix-it-all. He can do anything, okay? He's a businessman, entrepreneur. But he met us and wanted to show us around the town. And as we spent time together for a couple of days, and he started showing us where houses were, where things were at, where we might be able to land, he knew what our fiscal realities were. He knew what that was going to be, so he was showing us things that would be appropriate for our budget. And he got to showing us things, and again, we spent on two separate trips over 2 days together, about 3 days, looking at properties in Sioux Falls. I finally called Daryl back up. I said, Daryl, here's the deal. We're up here in Anchorage, Alaska, where housing prices and expenses and things are just way higher than they are in South Dakota. So before we can actually get a house in South Dakota, we really have to sell this one. And he had shown us some houses, and he said, well, I tell you what, let me think about that one. I said, Daryl, we may be looking at renting for the first year instead of buying. And he knew that there was a house that we really liked. And Daryl prayed about it, I guess, for about a week or so, is what he said. He called me back up, and we'd candidated, been accepted, everything. He said, Jim, I know you and your family have moved many times, and I know why. And I just feel like the Lord's leading me to do something. And if you're not, if it's okay and if it's acceptable to you, that house that you really like, would you allow me, before it gets sold out, would you allow me to buy that for you and your family? Would you allow me to, yeah. I was blown away. I was blown away as far as buying the house. Now, he was still from the Heartland, so he wasn't just buying it. He said, buy it so that we could buy it once we got everything settled with the sale of our house. It was an incredible gift of trust, an incredible gift so my wife didn't have to move two times. Can you fathom that? I mean, just after all of that, we came down the Alaska-Canada Highway, drove into Sioux Falls in our minivan. Minivans are awesome. Anybody have a truck? Trade it in for a minivan now, okay? So you can get minivans with knobby tires, okay? So with that, we came down. We pulled a 6x12 U-Haul trailer behind our Grand Caravan and just drove it down the Alcan Highway and pulled into Sioux Falls, right into a house. Didn't have to move again. It was such a huge, huge blessing. Man, I tell you what, when was the time that Here's a couple questions. How do you feel loved? How do you feel most loved? You could go through a lot of different things, but then ask this question. When have you felt most loved? When was a time in your life where somebody expressed love to you in a manner that just left you speechless and with tears? I got off the phone with Daryl Bartell and I wept. I wept for joy. I wept like, God, you're alive. And you work in people. And there's people who are willing to sacrifice for the sake of the kingdom work. And it was such a great joy. I was just speechless. And I just know this. There's not a person around. There's not anyone in this room that doesn't need love. And there's not a single person in this room that doesn't want to be loved. And everyone has probably some example of when you felt most loved. But this is the eye-opening thing. I wonder, where does that love come from? How does that increase in our lives? How can we get more of that attitude? How can we get there? What have you done in your life to see love increase? How have you loved somebody more? How have you loved something more? How have you loved your church more? How does this happen in our life? How do we fall in love with our community? To say, I want the best for my town. These are questions that hit various people at various times. And this is one thing, if there's one thing that you would remember from today's message, there's one thing at all, I want you to remember this phrase. Okay? Increasing love is a result of intimacy more than activity. Increasing love is more an issue of intimacy, a result of intimacy, than it is of activity. The thing is Daryl would never have done that for our family had he not gotten to know us and gotten to know our story over the course of 2 or 3 days, and we built a friendship and a relationship. God prompted him to do that through a growing brotherly Christian intimacy amongst brothers in Christ in a family and another family. And intimacy is key here. But if we want to see our love towards people grow, we get to know them. If we see our love towards God grow, we get to know him. I want to share with you some very intriguing things. But before I do that, I want to read a passage that really has prompted me. This has been a prayer that has been a challenge to me for a long time. And I want to share some things about it. But this is the prayer from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. He says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound. It's not just that it would abound, it's more and more. So increasing love. Increasing. This is, you talk about superlative of superlatives. It's not just the best. It's not just good, better, or best. It's the bestest. Maybe the bestest of the bestest. You know, it's love abounding. It's already overflowing. Now let's get more. And let's get more. It's insatiable. And he says, do this with knowledge. This is the prayer. With knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and to the praise of God. A few different key things I just want to focus in on in this prayer. The first one I want to focus in on, just as we look at this, is this whole idea of love growing, increasing love, increasing and abounding. Okay? Then we're going to look at what this knowledge and discernment and approving excellent things looks like a little bit. Some practical things to do that. And then we're going to look at this whole issue of blamelessness and purity before God. We're going to look at that too. But first, let me just share this. I brought a process I was trained by a guy named Greg Hawkins, who's been an executive pastor at our nation's largest churches. Right now, he's an executive pastor for Max down in San Antonio at the church where Max Licato is a pastor. And he used to be even at Willow Creek. And so he's done quite a bit and worked with a lot of people. And they were asking this question, what increases our love of God and love of people? This is the question, and a research was done by giving questions and surveys to over 10,000 believers, okay? So 10,000 believers started answering this question. Now the church really thought, at first, they thought, well, here's what's going to happen. we're going to find out which programs do this the best, and then we're going to look at our budget, and we're going to put things behind the budget. And what happened was, as the research came in, and they had incredible people that were analyzing the data. I mean, the type of people that would analyze the data for John Deere, the type of people who would work with Pioneer Seeds, analyzing all the surveys, looking for the trends, looking for the rhythms. What happens here? And so what happens is all of their assumptions were completely wrong. Their assumptions was something that we just have to offer the exact right opportunity, just the exact right programming, just the exact right activities, and love will grow. Love will grow. So here's what we have on this whole thing. Let me just share this. This is some quotes from and Greg Hawkins. He just released it. We were talking about it, he and I, and if I can get there. Here's a quote from the book. The research revealed, he wrote a book called More. It just came out talking about this very thing. The research revealed that how long someone had been a Christian didn't matter. Anybody known somebody who's been a Christian from their youth and they're bitter? Anybody know the cranky Christian? Oh, they don't happen, do they? So it didn't matter how long they'd been a Christian. Age didn't matter. Gender didn't matter. Church attendance since childhood didn't matter. All of that didn't matter. It didn't matter how long you've been sitting in the pews. It didn't matter about how long that you would say, I've been a faithful attender. None of that was the issue. But what did? A single question on the survey which simply asked, how important is Jesus to you? And it was identified, they were able to identify four distinct groups that literally are in every church. I want to share those with you. This was pretty landmark stuff. So I'm hoping you can see this. This is the first group, okay? Now this might be you. This might be you. If you're this person, group one, these groups are in every church. So this is the first person who would say, I believe in God, but I'm not sure about my faith in Jesus. I'm not sure about Jesus. My faith is not a significant part of my life. There's a lot of people who may just be coming and maybe socially influenced because people who they like or they want to be around come to church, but they may say, yeah, I believe in God, but this Jesus person, I'm not sure. That might be too big of a step because they don't want to exclude everybody else in the world who doesn't believe in Jesus. Whatever reason, not quite there yet, but you're maybe in the church, but you're not a believer yet. You're not sure about Jesus. That's the first group that they were talking about. Now, what they're looking at is, how does this impact love? How does that impact the love to people, love of God? How does that increase with this? And we're going to look at that. So the second group they looked at was this. It's group two, and they would say, I have a relationship with Jesus, so I'm a believer, and I'm working on getting to know him better. I'm a believer. Maybe I'm a pretty new believer. I'm coming to church. I'm hanging around Christians. I'm working to get to know God better. So that's group two. So I'd say you're young and growing in your faith. Maybe that's you. There are people, I don't know. I know this, as I saw pictures of people who have just come to faith this last year. Some people have just been baptized by a believer's baptism. Fantastic stuff. You're in that process of growing. It's great. Here's group number three. It says, I feel very close to Jesus and depend on him daily for guidance. Okay? I feel very close to Jesus and depend on him daily for guidance. So that could be somebody who's been in the church all the time. And somebody who's been here a long time, somebody who's just come consistently since coming to faith. I just feel close. Somebody who's reading their Bible, maybe even. They're reading their Bible, having a devotional life, maybe doing good stuff around the town with the church. So we're looking at those types of things, group three. And then there's group four. And I'm going to make a distinction here in a second. Group four would say that my relationship with Jesus is the most important relationship in my life. It influences everything I do. Some of you may say, that's me, I'm there. I'm there, and I'm loving the ride. It's not easy, but I'm there. Some of you know. Let me help you make the distinction between 3 and 4. Group 3 and group 4 says this, is what Greg Hawkins says. The big difference that they found between group 3 and 4 is that the people in group 3, Jesus is important to their lives, but the focus is still on their lives. So when I read the Bible, how does this comfort me? What's in it for me? I'm coming to church and I like it because it scratches an itch for me. And that's all okay. It's just when they started looking at where things are and what is actually increasing love and what is increasing actual love to people and love to God, what they found was that it was a crazy finding. In group 4, people served others, they shared their faith, were generous with their resources, and had higher levels of peace, patience, and joy. When they would just look at it and say, this is my relationship with God. Why am I here? It's because I'm here and I'm enjoying God. I'm getting to know Him more. I'm getting to know His working and His people more. I'm getting to know His church more. And so here's what it actually played out as. When you look at how love increased, there was a very subtle increase at all. You started seeing a little bit more in group 3, but when you got over here to group 4, the relationship with Jesus is the most important relationship in my life. It influences everything I do. When people got to that level in their walk with Christ, that right there is where everything skyrocketed. There's so much to take away from this. It's many, many surveys. They've done many, many more just to say, okay, where do we go with this? This is just the raw material. But the reality is this, is that increasing love, if you want to abound more and more and more in your love, it's a result of intimacy with God more than it is Christian activity. All right? Intimacy with God. Intimacy with God will drive everything. We talked about this over the weekend. We talked about how, what is it that drives it? There's not a distinction between somebody who is over here. There's a heart issue that's going on in our service, in our giving, and everything. So growing or intimacy with love, intimacy is really the driving force for growing love. Let me just share this with you. Just as a very practical piece of things. I don't know how many of you right now would say that you're like, I'm just getting to know God because I love God. I want to get to know God. I don't know how many of you right now are just in a daily reading or just reading your Bibles on a daily basis. But let me just give you a simple app. If you're not, if I want to be honest and vulnerable with you, as a minister of the gospel, I can tell you this, is there are often times where I waffle between 3 and 4. Right here, sometimes I'm here and I'm just like, this is crazy what God is doing in my midst. I cannot believe it. I love just getting to know Him, trusting Him. I'm just going to follow where He leads me for the next step. And it's amazing. And then all of a sudden, when I'm in this group 4 and I'm in that type of a lifestyle, someone, somehow, somewhere, something comes along and it wounds me. It hurts me. And I relationally just kind of crawl back into a shell. And if I could say one thing about all these different groups, it would be this. Right here, these 3 are kind of living in a box, but right here is where God just unleashes us from the box. And so what I will find sometimes is I'll go back and forth. And one thing that I have to do personally in my own life is I just have to say, what's the one thing that's going to make the difference? Is if I stop reading the Bible just to put a message together. If I stop reading the Bible just to be able to counsel somebody. What's in this for me? What if I just read the Bible because I love God? What if I just prayed because I wanted to get to know Him? So if you don't have it, there's lots of different apps, but I found one a while back that's really great, an app called Read Scripture. Write that down, Read Scripture. And if you want that one, it'll take you through the Bible. It's got cool little videos along the way. It's awesome. It's awesome for if you just want to get to know Jesus. Let me ask you a few questions as we look at the rest of this passage and just briefly go over some points. He says this, it's his prayer that our love would abound more and more. That's his prayer. And then he says this in knowledge and in discernment. You know, it's one thing to say I'm going to show love, but what about the discernment and the knowledge? Here's a few questions that you might ask. Where has God placed me? I would say this. What we learned when your leaders came together and did a leadership retreat, God has placed you in St. Paul to have knowledge and discernment and how to exercise this love. God has placed you in St. Paul. And what we learned from looking at 30 years of your church history was this. If there's one overarching thing, Pastor Daniel, he recognized it and so did everybody else. But the one thing that St. Paul consistently responds to, and what this church consistently responds to, is what? Love. Love. When the community feels loved, the church, you have swells of church growth where it was very clear that the community felt love. It's unbelievable. And love, that love brought a unity during those seasons. So here's another question. How has God made you? How has God made us? You want to steward this well. Understand how God has made you. Where's your best fit as a volunteer or serving, or serving in the church? What has God given to me? What has God entrusted you with? Resources, skills, time, talent? What has he entrusted you with? You know, I grew up in the church like many of you. And I came to faith out of Catholicism when I was 11, but I was raised in Sunday school from then on out. I was taught how to tithe from an early age. And I got to thinking over time, and probably over the last decade, my wife and I have just increasingly been aware of opportunities, whether on the mission field or around. And we started thinking, you know, maybe the Lord wants us to increase our love. What's that gonna take? What sacrifices will we need to make? But the tithe isn't a law. The tithe is a starting point. And so I'm not saying this for any reason of bragging or anything, but I would just say we have incrementally increased our percentage of giving for many years now, to the point to where we're so thankful that we get to bless our church, but when God brings an opportunity along the way, we try to intentionally keep margin in our lives so that we can bless people and consistently give a much higher percentage. And that's just part of increasing. And what's happening right now? These are the opportunities. What are the opportunities that you have? This community, here's the deal. You're almost out of space. You're going to be looking at a building. And why? Because you want to show love to a community. You want people to feel the love of Christ as part of your family. And there's going to be a call for sacrifice and intentional just commitment to say, help us get this thing going. There's going to be a call at some point from your leadership towards that end. And I would just invite you even now, begin praying. Begin praying. What would God have me do? What can I set aside? Some of you have already so generously participated, but what would God have everybody do? Begin to pray about how he would have you increase your love as this church seeks to increase a broader family love to the entire community. There is such a vision that you have. It's so beautiful. I can only imagine the impact it's going to have on the community more and more. I would say this, when it says this, to be pure and blameless before God, when he says that in this passage, he says that we would be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through the glory and the praise of God. I would just say, when it all boils down, we want to stand before God, not ashamed. We want to be pure. We want to be blameless. Why? We would be that way because our life was stewarded. All of our resources, all of our life were stewarded intentionally to the glory of God. My brothers and sisters, I just want to say I've thoroughly enjoyed spending time with you over this weekend. Leadership, and here on Sunday, I'm looking forward to Sunday school hour. Hope you're sticking around. I know that the rubbing of shoulders with other Christians, enjoying God in that way, is one way that God truly grows us and increases our love. I often will close out a message, just as simple. This has been a bit of a teaching, but I ended off with something practical. The kids are back to you. And I just want to ask you these questions. What is God saying to you right now? What will you do about it? What would God have you do about that? I remember one time on the mission field, I had this guy, Eres, standing right next to me, and these two wrestlers, and a big crowd was all around us. And these two wrestlers, these huge dudes who were like nearly 7 foot tall, came out of this little dinky car, like a Ford Escort size thing. And I'm like, are you serious? They came up to us. We're on a dusty street out in the wild, wild, crazy areas of a tribal region. And they get out and they want to wrestle with us, literally, because we were, number one, they wanted to beat us because we were Christians. And two, because we weren't supposed to be Christians, okay? They said they're all Buddhists. And I stood there, and I'll make, without going into every detail, the entire crowd watched as they asked point blank, why are you here? What are you doing here, American? And I answered them back, and I said, yes, yes, потому что меня пригласили сюда, помогать остановить новой церкви. And I said, they asked me to come here to help get some churches going, okay? And as we got going into this, they said, no, there's no Christians here. We're all Buddhists. And this young guy, Eres, came through the whole crowd and stood right next to me. As a guy who I'd been discipling, one who had really begun to love God, just for loving God, his life had totally changed. And he looked right up at him, and they looked at him, and they'd known each other since birth, and they said, Eres, ¿qué vieres? They said, Eres, are you a believer? And Eres looked right up at him, right in their eyes, and he said, da. Yeah, vieres. He says, I'm a believer. Yeah, vieres, что Иисус Христос, Сын Божий, мой спаситель. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he is my Savior. And they beat that man right before my eyes, and I tried to stop him. They beat him down, punched him down on the ground. I finally got in between them and got him to stop. And I said, Eres, ubijai. He ran off. And the whole crowd was appalled because Eres was, since coming to faith, had been one who had loved the community well. He was a welder. A few welders in here. And what he did is he went and he literally fixed people's doors in their houses, and he did that stuff for free just to love on the community. He knew there was a need. He could fix it. Why not? Let's do it. And so he went out and he did this. He didn't charge them. He just said, I have the tools. I can help. And so he went out and loved people. They were appalled. They knew he was a Christian. They weren't yet, but they knew that he loved them. These guys, these champions of Tuvan wrestling, I closed off the conversation. They left threatening us, threatening our lives, and Eres walks away. I finally get in a car, go find him on the streets walking, and I say, Eres, Edis. He gets in the car, sits down. I look over at him, and I said, Eres, you have periodki. And he's like, everything okay? Everything in place? Because he'd gotten hit pretty hard. I thought maybe he'd broken some bones, cheekbone or something. He said, yeah, everything's fine. Done. I mean, how do you pray at that moment? I mean, we were quiet. Solemn assembly, we prayed one of those prayers like this. God, you know if these guys are ever going to be believers, save them. But if not, take them out. You know, we prayed one of those prayers, okay? Take them out. But I'll never forget what happened next. I'll never forget it. Here's a new believer. He hadn't been in church his whole life. He'd been a believer for about a year. Oozing with the love of God, the love of Christ, spending time. He had nothing to give other than himself. No material resources other than his skills and his love for God and people. Nothing to give. That dude sat there in the car and looked at me after praying, and he said two words that taught me more about worship in two words in Russian. It's three in English. Two words that it changed me, taught me more about worship than any textbook or anything. He looked at me and said, Jim, он достоин. Он достоин. I couldn't believe it. He is worthy. He is worthy. Puffy face, bloody eye, he is worthy. You know, loving God, loving people, making the transition from 3 to 4, or from group 2 to group 3, to get involved and to do whatever it takes to love this community, to see people come to Christ, all I can say is whatever that sacrifice is, and there will be sacrifices, he is worthy of that, all right? He is worthy of that. Let me close in prayer. Lord, I don't know what you're doing in people's hearts or what you might be doing right now in a life or how... where somebody's at in their faith, I pray you'd show mercy, Lord, and just grant the faith to believe today that somebody would confess you as their Savior. Lord, if people here who don't know the joy of being in relationship with you, may they just place their faith and trust in you, God. Bless them with that. But Lord, I pray for those who do know you that you would speak clearly in their lives and that you would grant the gift of clarity, the gift of the grace of clarity to know exactly what you would have them do. And Lord, grant them the strength, the energy, and the courage to follow hard after your leading in their life. Lord, you alone are worthy. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.